This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To proceed. Well, I was just telling Sheikh about Sheikh Muhammad that I was considering writing something about something for Muslims frustrated with Muslims. So I wanted to say that it is important for those people in particular. It's important for everybody, but it is important for those people in particular to own their Islam. And once they own their Islam, they'll come back and they will have sort of shafaqa. So they'll have patience and they'll have forbearance and they will have feelings of mercy and compassion for humanity and certainly most importantly for their fellow Muslims. But I wanted to say that owning our Islam is very easy. The good news is pure religion, sometimes altered religion, misinterpreted religion, can have sort of damaging consequences to individuals and societies. But the solution is not to abandon religion. You know, some people tried this, and you have seen how the abandonment of religion caused the great harm. Even if it were, even if that religion was not the true sort of unaltered religion, still the abandonment of religion causes loss of meaning, loss of purpose, loss of anchorage, and damaging sort of effects on the societal morality and collective spirituality. So the answer is not abandonment of religion. The answer is to go back to the pure religion. Fortunately for us, we have access to that. Alhamdulillah. It's still there. We have access to it. You just need to be determined to find it, to embrace it, to practice it, to live up to it, because it does actually take some commitment on your part to want to live up to it. And our religion is extremely, you know, having said that, it is extremely simple and straightforward. There is an ayah close to the end of Surah Al-Kahf, which, you know, the very end of Surah Al-Kahf, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It's the one before the last one, I guess. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. But the point here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Verily, those who had faith and did righteousness or righteous deeds, for them there will be gardens of paradise as their abode. Their abode will be gardens of paradise. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, to dwell therein forever. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا, seeking no transfer from it. Seeking no transfer. You don't get bored in paradise. That's what's being said here. You're seeking no transfer because there is no boredom. You see, here in this life, no matter how good your condition is, if you're in the same condition, you just get bored. There is no boredom in paradise. So, that's our deen. It's faith and righteousness. It's faith and righteousness. So the rule of twos, you know, our deen walks on two legs, faith and righteousness. لَذِينَ أَمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. How often is this repeated in the Quran? Quite often. And the iman walks on two legs. One of them is Allah, and the other one is in the buwat, prophethood. So, you know, you could say three, because the Day of Judgment is actually an important one. But when we say Allah, we're answering two of the three most existential questions, right? It is al-mabda wal-masir. Where did we come from? Where are we going? What are we here for? So al-mabda is the origin, al-masir is the destiny, al-masir is the journey. So when you say Allah, you already answered two of the questions. Al-mabda wal-masir, the origin and the destiny. And when you say Muhammad Rasulullah and you recognize the concept of prophethood, you recognize that your Lord, the creator of this universe, had not abandoned you, had not shunned you, that he actually cares about you and he sent you messengers to tell you how to return to him, how to safely return to him, how to make it back to him safely. So that's the belief in the Nubuwwat. So we still have the rule of twos here. So Iman al-Amal al-Saleh, the Iman, you believe in Allah and the prophets, Allah and his messengers. And then, as I said to you, the six pillars of faith is Allah, is angels, books, messengers, the final day, and predestination. Qadr is al-Qudra. Qadr goes back to al-Qudra. If you believe in the omnipotent God, so that's part of Qadr, predestination, is about the omnipotence and omniscience of God. So he's all-knowing, all-powerful. The all-knowing and all-powerful creator, the predestined everything, knew everything before it happened, and nothing happens in his universe without his deep permission. So that's Qadr, goes back to Allah. So we have five. The three in the middle are the, what is the most important function of the angels? Who's the most important angel?
Jibreel.
So the most important function of the angels is to communicate the message from God to the human messenger. So you have an angelical messenger, a message, a human messenger. It's all about messengership. Or you could say prophethood. A communication from the heavens. Your Lord did not abandon you. Your Lord sent you messengers to tell you how to get back to him safely and how to make it back to paradise after you have been removed from it. So, and then you have the final day. But as we said, the final day can go back to Allah because inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So from him is the beginning and to him is the destiny. So we go back to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then al-amal al-salih is very easy. It's the rule of twos, very easy. Amal al-salih has two conditions. That's called ikhlas al-mutaba'ah, sincerity and correctness. Correctness meaning adherence to the way of the Prophet devotion to Allah is sincerity. But correctness is what does it mean? It means that you worship him as he likes, not as you like. Right? Who knows what he likes? His messengers. And you worship him through the sunnah of his messenger, the way of his messenger. The sunnah here, in the general sense of the word, the way of the messenger. Whatever the messenger had brought to you. So ikhlas al-mutaba'ah, devotion and correctness, adherence to the way of the messenger. So these are the two conditions. And what are the two pillars? You could call them pillars, you could call them something else. It's just like the rule of twos. What are the types of amal salih? The exterior and the interior. Amal al-zahir wal-batin. It's the work of the exterior and the work of the interior. Amal al-zahir wal-batin. Amal al-zahir is known. There are acts of worship and transactions and so on. Amal al-batin is the work of your heart. To clean your heart, cleanse your heart and so on. Amal al-batin wal-zahir. So What does Amal Saleh pertain to when it comes to the basically the objective of this Amal or the target of this Amal Saleh? Who should you do righteousness, or who should you do? Who should you be sort of righteous and good to? To Al Khaliq wal Khalq, Allah, the Creator, and the creation, too. And what is basically the work that you need to do on your heart? Two things, tahliya and tahliya, basically to purify your heart from its maladies and to inculcate virtue in it, to get your heart, to get rid of the vices like envy, rancor, mockery, all of these pride, arrogance, all of these diseases of the heart that we have. You need to cleanse your heart of these diseases and instill or inculcate in your heart ikhbat, submissiveness to Allah, humility, humbleness, love for Allah and His Messenger, ishfaq, which is to have pity or mercy for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of those meanings. So it is very straightforward, and it, and that's the beauty of Islam, and the strength of Islam is in its simplicity. It's basically faith and righteousness. It is to correct your interior and exterior. It is to have the most solid world view, unparalleled, worldview that gives you the answer to the most important questions, the existential questions. Where did we come from? What are we here for? Where are we going? The origin, the destiny, and and the journey. So we came from Allah, we returned to Him, and the journey, the Masir, is explained to us in detail by His prophets, and we have a message, the unadulterated message of the last one of them. So that is a solid worldview. Now you own your deen. This, your deen is not simple. You just you focus on these like integral parts of religiosity and spirituality, and you, if you have any doubt about any part, you make sure that the doubt is removed. You have complete certainty. That certainty would give you the energy to experience spirituality, to have experiential faith, which is faith that you have experienced, that you have tasted, that you tasted the sweetness of it. You don't taste it by your tongue, but you do taste it by your heart. And once you have tasted the sweetness of faith, you ascend without limits. You spiritually ascend without limits. Keep in mind that there is a cap for this faith by persuasion. There is faith by association. You're Muslim because you like the Muslims and so on. There is faith by persuasion, where you're Muslim because you're convinced of Islam being the final message. But there is faith by realization, to realize your faith. It's actualized faith. It's experiential faith. Is when you taste it, you can actually taste it. And that is when you ascend without limits in your servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then once you have gotten there, your heart will be spacious enough to have sabr, and to have hilm, and to have maghfirah, and to have, you have patience, you have forbearance, you have compassion for the people, and primarily and most importantly your fellow Muslims. And then you will also be confirmed in that faith by association, and you will also be in love with your community and tolerate all of the annoyances and all of the awkwardness of the people that you come across in the community.
Thank you.